Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we're talking about how to be successful in the ministry, taking our thoughts from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. And we'll get right back into that in just a moment after I welcome you to this Wednesday, January 5 edition of the Beacon Broadcast and express my deepest gratitude to the radio listeners whose financial gifts make it possible for us to maintain this Bible teaching ministry on this station. Our text is 2 Timothy 2:14. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. So said Paul to Timothy, whose responsibility was to train the leaders, the pastors, the elders, the preachers and teachers of the church at Ephesus, so that they could have a profitable or successful ministry. Now, of course, that word success needs to be properly understood. What does it mean to have a successful ministry? To many people, that means to have a growing ministry, large numbers. More often than not, that is looked at as the ultimate signification of success. Sometimes there are other things that go with it, the size and beauty of the buildings and size of the budget and various other things that are sometimes looked two for success. In fact, there are a whole range of other things. But probably at the top of the list most of the time is the question of size. If you have a big church, you're a successful minister. If you have a small church, you're an unsuccessful one. I don't believe that. You say, well, that's because you don't pastor a big church. Well, of course, size is relative, but that's true. I don't pastor a big church, and I don't consider our church large, though some people do, but again, that's very relative, very relative. Our church is not large by the megachurch standards of our day, not even close. Our church, according to statistics, is probably in the top 10% of church sizes in America. Believe it or not, that surprised me when I found that out. I had no idea that we would fit into that category. I thought we were way down, about in the middle somewhere, but it turns out that's not so, because the fact is that the average church in America has a Sunday morning attendance under 100. That's average. So if you're larger than that, you're above average, but there's nothing wrong with being there or smaller than that. That's not the way God measures success. Well, how does God measure success? By faithfulness to His Word and faithfulness to ministerial responsibility. And the way you measure that is primarily by what's taking place in the lives of the people in the congregation. Are they growing? Are they developing spiritual fruit? Are they becoming more Christ-like? Is the church a healthy, vibrant church, which in most cases, many cases, will mean that it will grow, but there are a lot of things that can mitigate against numerical growth. I know people, I know pastors who minister in places where there's a tremendous turnover just because of the area where they live, maybe a military area. So they might be doing far more than most churches in reaching new people, introducing them to the gospel, teaching them the word of God, but because they're attached to a military base, they may be coming in and out every year or two. They are it's a constant revolving door. They may be doing more for the cause of Christ if they take these soldiers and train them well for 2 or 3 years, and then they head out to other places. If they've really been well taught, they will no doubt become faithful servants of Christ and leaders in other places, sometimes often foreign places, foreign lands, and in other cases, other military bases, and may become attached to a church that's not nearly as strong and vibrant and be able to help that church a great deal. There's a lot of things that may be taking place, but the church may not be growing at all. It may be struggling just to stay even at times. And that's often also true in places where economic hardship has taken a toll, and where businesses have closed, factories have closed, people are moving out. How do you have a growing church in that situation? Well, you could. I'm not saying it's impossible. God sometimes will do that. God's Spirit is able to go against the flow, so to speak. But under normal circumstances, that's not going to be a growing situation. A pastor may be very successful in the eyes of the Lord. He may have a very faithful ministry, and he may have a shrinking congregation. And from that matter, sometimes a pastor who is being faithful is going to have a shrinking congregation because people are reacting against his sound teaching. They're not used to that. They've been pastored by men who were more concerned about their popularity and their maintaining their position and not disturbing the status quo than they were in teaching the whole counsel of God. And along comes a godly, humble man who just not trying to stir up trouble, not trying to be a jerk, but he just starts line upon line, precept upon precept, teaching the Word of God, and he starts teaching things that this congregation hasn't heard before. And I can tell you what's going to happen. Some people are going to love it. Wow. We are learning, we are growing like we never had before. This man is opening God's Word to us in such a wonderful way. This is glorious. Thank you, Lord, for sending us a diligent pastor who is teaching us the Word of God in a systematic way that we have not before heard. Thank you for this privilege. And other people are going to be saying, well, I never heard that before. Well, nobody ever told me that before. Well, nobody ever stepped on my toes like that before. Well, nobody, why, we've been here for years and years and years, and nobody's ever preached that before. I don't like that. I don't like you. Either you're going to go or we're going to go. Is that man successful? In the eyes of God, he may be eminently successful. How about a pastor who pastors a church faithfully for a number of years and brings them to a certain level, and they've been following him and growing, but then they come to a place where the church is not willing to go any further? I'm thinking of a particular pastor in mind, a very specific situation. And he comes to an understanding with the church that he will resign and will go someplace else, or even, in this case, will start a church, a new church in the area, that wants to go where he is trying to take the church, and the church is not willing to go. And in the case that I'm thinking of, there was an amicable separation, and the church was happy, was willing for him to do that. It was not rancorous. Hard feelings about it. It's just that the honorable and ethical thing to do is to say, here's where I want to go, and if you're not willing to go there, then I need to go someplace else. And it turns out that the someplace else happened, in this case, to be the same town, taking a few people out of the church who did want to go there, but they were the minority. And so without hard feelings, he's starting over with a little group of people with no building. And he left a church with a nice building and a nice-sized congregation. So he's really downsized. Now, is he successful? You say, well, time will tell. And indeed, time will tell. But up until this point, is he successful? I think in the eyes of God, he is. And I'm especially impressed that he was able to do all of this without hard feelings, without argument and rancor, to do all of this in an amicable way. That is success. That's amazingly Christ-like to be able to do that. But now he's pastoring a little storefront church that really is not even able to fully support him. He's receiving, the church is receiving some help from another church or two just to be able to pay their bills, to pay the rent in the building that they are renting to meet in, and to support their pastor. And he's had to take a salary cut to do all this. And is he successful? The world would say, nope, failure. But I think God says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You see, there's a lot of different ways to measure success. Sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees, as the saying goes. And sometimes people are in a very spiritually healthy church. I may be talking about a pastor in the situation, or I may be talking about members, but sometimes people can be in an extremely spiritually healthy church, but become dissatisfied because they're not seeing the growth that they would like to see, or because they're fixated on some little problem, some disappointment that they've had, and that's all they can see, and here they are moping around and acting discontent, and in some cases leaving the church, in other cases staying there but acting like something's terribly wrong, when the fact of the matter is that the church they're in is unusually healthy, unusually blessed of God, but sometimes people are too close to be able to tell that. I'm usually encouraged when other people visit our church. I'm talking about other preachers come in for a Bible conference or come for a special meeting or whatever and visit our church, and I'm almost always encouraged by being told by many different people that over many different years, the constant report is, this is a wonderful church. This is a God-blessed church. This is an unusual church. This is one of the best churches that I have ever observed. And sometimes I and the other pastors and some of our people are sitting here thinking, well, we're not saying, we do believe that God has been very good to us here and this has been a good church, but we see a lot of weaknesses and problems and things that we would like to see improved. And we didn't think of it that way, but thank you. That's very encouraging. That's very helpful. In other words, it may be that you are in a church that God would consider to be very healthy and in a ministry that God would consider to be very successful. But because you're using the wrong standard of measurement, you're looking for perfection, which doesn't exist. You're looking for a level of spirituality that wasn't to be found even in the New Testament churches in the first century. Because you're looking for worldly standards of success and growth, which are not really the test at all, you don't realize what God is doing and has done and will continue to do. And you're not looking at it through the lens of Scripture. You're not looking at it the way God looks at it. We need to define success as God defines it. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.